Danielle Crissa is the voice behind the art blog The Jealous Curator. She has also worked as a design and creative director for 14 years and is the author of Creative Block and Collage. Her new book is Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk, which shows how to finally conquer the doubts, concerns, and negativity that hound so many people pursuing a creative life. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Danielle Crissa to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. What brought you to this topic and having you look at our inner critic?
Well, it's been a bit of a journey. I have an art blog called The Jealous Curator, and I've been writing it for about 8 years, mainly because I was feeling jealous of every artist I came across, wishing that I was making their work. And I ended up writing a book a few years ago called Creative Block, where I interviewed 50 artists from around the world about how they deal with blocks and self-doubt. And it was crazy because the thing that kept coming up over and over and over was this inner critic and this voice. And when I was traveling for Creative Block, everyone I met at every event, you know, there was this Me Too story after Me Too story. And so this book came about because I sort of had all of these personal aha moments myself, and I just really wanted to share them with everyone else and let other people have these aha moments, realizing that your inner critic is sort of the common denominator amongst all of this stuff. And if you can stop that voice, then you can get on with the business of being creative.
Why do we doubt ourselves? Do we know that?
I don't know. You know, I one of the things that I've sort of realized through all of this is that, you know, the inner critic is not something that you've created, like that is part of you. Basically, it's little seeds of doubt that have been planted along the way. You know, some people, I can't even tell you how many people have told me, oh, I had a first grade teacher that told me I couldn't draw, so I've never really drawn since. And so it's just these little seeds of doubt that are planted in our heads by, you know, people that are maybe important to us, authority figures, parents, teachers along the way, that allow us to sort of shape these beliefs about ourselves. And that's sort of how the inner critic gets born for artists, as far as I can see.
You point out at the very beginning of the book, the first chapter is called Everyone is Creative. So let us start there of that importance of knowing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so many people, when I go to these events, will say, you know, oh, no, me, no, I'm not creative. But then what are you doing at this event? You know, like, I know you want to be. And the thing is, like, everybody is creative. I think the world says that, you know, oh, being an artist means that you can paint a perfect portrait, or being a writer means that you can write a novel. And I think creativity comes in lots of forms. Some people are wizards in the garden. Other people can plate a meal like you've never seen before. And that's creativity. And so just because you're not a painter doesn't mean you're not creative. So that chapter is sort of about looking at the things that you really love, that you enjoy, where your creativity lies, and then running with it.
That idea of running with it, how difficult is that? And because you point out, even if your inner critic doesn't emerge initially, it can emerge later on in the process.
Mm-hmm. It often does, halfway through. The key, I mean, and it's tough. It's tough. It requires commitment, and it requires, like, showing up and just doing it, because your inner critic does want you to stop along the way. And here's the thing. You're going to make junk. You know, you're not going to sit down and do the perfect painting ever the first time you sit down to paint. You're going to make lots of stuff that needs to get tossed out and recycled and flipped over. And your inner critic will point out, wow, that was terrible. You should throw that away. What I did after art school was I just quit. You know, I heard that voice enough that I was just like, oh, forget it. I'm just going to quit. And my inner critic won. If you just keep showing up, the thing is that junk is going to get better and better and better until the point where, you know, your inner critic gets silenced. So it's a matter of showing up, and you just have to defy it. You just have to tell that inner critic to just shut up, even on the bad days, and just keep on arriving in your studio or your workspace or wherever.
You have a great point in the book of never speaking badly about your own work, that if somebody compliments it, even if you have a list of 300 things that are wrong with it, just say thank you.
Yeah. You know, that's a human thing, right? Like, if someone compliments your shirt, you might say, oh, well, you know, it wasn't really the blue that I was looking for, but, you know, and it's just like, just say thank you, because why give this itemized list of flaws, you know? And when you your inner critic wants you to give this list, you know, and when it does, it just promotes the idea of quitting. And so if you can just say thank you and bite your lip and, you know, not give in to that, suddenly your inner critic is like, hey, wait, what? And starts to lose a little bit of power. And every time you do this, it loses more and more. And I joked in the book, like, and it also makes you much more fun to talk to at a party. Because who wants to talk to that person with a list of negativity?
Where does failure fit in? I mean, at what point should you say, okay, well, this really wasn't that great, and this is how I can improve upon that?
Yeah, well, there's a chapter called Failure Leads to Genius, and it was a tough chapter to write because I kept having to use the word failure, and I don't like that word because I kind of realized, again, very meta, while writing this book, I kind of freaked out when I started writing this book and wanted to just quit. I just was like, oh, I'm not a writer, what am I doing? And my inner critic was very loud. But I realized in that moment, the only way I could fail was to close my laptop and not write the book. That would be failing. Quitting would be failing. All the other stuff is just experimenting and playing. And if you're okay with that, if you can embrace the idea that imperfection is fine and experimenting is fine, then you can't fail, right? If something turns out and it's not great, you can go, well, that was an experiment. But you know what? I love this top little corner. So maybe tomorrow or later today, I'm going to start working with the colors in that top corner and go from there. Like, every experiment leads you to the next thing. The only way you can fail is if you stop.
We should note that when you're talking about creativity, you're talking, I mean, you're personally an artist, but it could be writing, it could be music, it could be any form of creativity and creative arts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've talked to, again, like, you know, because I've been an artist and because, you know, I write about art every day, when I did Creative Block and started touring around for that, I just assumed it would be artists that would be showing up and who would be doing Me Too's, you know. But there were writers and musicians and actors and dancers who were all like, oh, yeah, I get it. And so in this book, I've tried to address that. You know, it doesn't just mean painters. And it was really funny because my dad is actually a PhD scientist. And he was visiting me when I got my advanced copy. And so, he's reading it. And when he got home, he finished reading it and he called me and he said, now, I don't know why you think this is an art problem. He said, there are plenty of scientists who have an inner critic as well. And so I said, well, you know, Dad, I don't think it's an art problem. I think it's a human problem, but I tend to focus on creativity, so I'm not covering everybody.
Have you encountered, I mean, I think most of us probably have, but have you encountered, and this is something that you thought about while working on this, which is if your inner critic just likes you a little bit too much, in the sense of everything you do is really great?
I do not have that problem.
Many of us don't, but I know some people do.
I know. I've had a few people ask me that, and it kind of stumped me because I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a good thing in your own mind. What I suggested the last time I was talking to someone about this was reach out. There's a chapter about sharing your work, and I think it's invaluable whether your inner critic is mean or nice, is to have people to share your work with, bounce ideas off of. So maybe if your inner critic is telling, or your inner cheerleader is telling you everything you make is perfect, having this group of trusted people to get feedback from might say, yes, it is fantastic, but you know what? What if you push a little more in this area and whatever? Your work will still get better. I think no matter what, when you're alone, if your inner critic is mean or nice, you're not going to progress. You're either going to stop or you're going to think you're perfect, and why should you progress any further if you're already perfect? So I think getting that tribe, even if it's just one person that you trust, and having someone bounce off of, you're going to get encouraged to keep moving on your path.
The name of the book, Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk, and Other Truths About Being Creative. It is published by Chronicle Books. Danielle Crissay, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure to have you on the program. Again, the title of the book, Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk. It is published by Chronicle Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.